Welcome everyone, welcome to another episode of Equip and Elevate. Today we've got the one and only Lebo. Last time we had a really amazing conversation about Adulting 101, and I think a lot of you guys were wanting more of that conversation. I remember after we left, we were so like, I don't know, I just felt like we're very vulnerable. And like for me, as someone who's journeying how vulnerable, that was a piece of my heart and just sharing a bit of the things that I've learned along my 20s. I am still my 20s. But what we wanted to do something very similar, conversation between two girlfriends. I think we talk like almost every day for like an hour. And I think there's some of the themes that we have similar themes in our lives that we've gone through or are going through. And I thought, why not bring that conversation to this platform? And I'm sure that a lot of you guys, when you're navigating your 20s, you know, there's a lot of things that you might be trying to figure out, like, how do I deal with self-forgiveness? How do I deal with letting go or healing? So today we're going to really be touching on those kinds of themes. And we want you guys to be a part of the conversation. So please make sure you subscribe to the channel, follow the channel, and also make sure that you comment and let us know what were some of your experience when dealing with self-forgiveness, healing, and letting go. So welcome, friend.
Thank you for having me once again.
I'm so excited. I love it. I feel like you should be a regular. You should be like a regular guest. I don't know how, which show has a regular guest?
I don't know.
You should be like Dr. Phil on Oprah.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Oz and Oprah.
Yes.
A regular. Because like, I'm telling you, last time when we had that episode, everyone loved the episode.
It was amazing though. I think I watched it and I was like, we were pretty deep, huh?
Yeah, I know. Because afterwards, I was just like, did we just go into that? Even your husband shared it with me. Yes. He's like, one of my friends just watched this. Yeah. And it was really encouraging just to get men. Watch that and then learn something.
That's true.
Obviously, I knew that I had to bring you back.
I'm super excited to be here again. You know, I always love conversating with you. It's like my favorite. I can't go through a day without a phone call. My sisters would be like, ha! There she goes again.
I think Ululibo, usually what he does is like when I call,
hangs up.
He's like, Auntie Aya's calling again.
On the watch YouTube.
So, so I'm really excited. And it's just such a good, I don't know. I think for me, it's still parts of my life that I'm going through.
Yeah.
So I don't have answers. You know, I really wanted this to be like a Oprah moment or like a Red Table moment.
Yeah, it's or like, Gail and Oprah.
Yeah.
An honest conversation.
Yeah. But I think part of it, there's not always answers. Yeah. It's about sharing our journey. And that's part of why we have just created this kind of space.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to start with Icebreaker. So this is quite different.
Let's do it.
Quite different from what we've done in the season.
Yeah.
So this Icebreaker really is to get you to relax.
Okay.
And it's really short answers, one word answers with maybe a very short explanation.
Okay.
So the first one is, if you could travel back in time, which era would you go back to and why?
Sure. If I could travel back in time, I would probably go back to my teenagers.
Really?
Yeah, I would go back there.
Why?
And not stop being afraid.
Sure.
I think I said this the last time. I was pretty afraid of a lot of things.
And I can't imagine that.
No, I was.
Because you're so bold and you do things and you're not scared. And you're like, I look at you and I'm just like,
oh, no. In my teenagers, being Saba, I was afraid of so many things. So I think going back there now, knowing that it's okay to not win. It's okay to fail. It's okay.
Okay. And then if you could have dinner with one historical figure, who would you have dinner with?
Oh, my.
Dead or alive?
Dead or Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou. Why?
She was a lover of love.
Oh, and you're a lover of love.
I am a big
I think everything, if you guys don't know Lebo, by the way, everything she does is her ministries around love.
Love.
You know, so that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
The last one, what's the best way to unwind after a very stressful or long day?
A glass of wine.
I knew you were going to say that. At last, of all, I knew you were going to say that. I should have said, what's the best way to unwind without wine?
Oh, Phone off, time with my son.
Okay. I love that. Me too. Sometimes child having like. A phone there is like, you can have so much anxiety. Yeah. And you just like,
yeah.
So putting my phone in the bedroom. Yep. And just really not touching my phone. And I think sometimes people might see, I will send messages at like half nine. It's because I've
left. Friend, you're always working.
That's true. That's true.
I should ask you that question as well. What's the best way to unwind? Do you ever unwind?
Sure. It always feels like I'm wasting time.
Sure.
When I'm unwind. Like, I feel like I should be doing something.
Yeah.
So even if when I am relaxing, I have my laptop in front of me. I'd rather ideate, come up with ideas for the podcast, plan something, look at things that we maybe, even if it's not work related, like look at things we need for the house.
Yeah.
So I sometimes feel like I am wasting time because sitting there like the whole day.
I hear you.
So, but I am slowing down, guys.
The baby. You have to. I'm so excited.
So I'm learning to say no. I'm learning to slow down. I'm learning to put me
first
and baby first before anything else.
Yeah, very important.
Still not hasn't been easy, but I'm learning.
Oh, trust me, when baby's here, you are going to put yourself first and put baby first.
Yeah,
it just happens naturally.
Yeah, and I'm excited for that change.
I'm excited too. I'm gonna be an aunt, guys. Oh my god.
Oh man, God has been so good. I'm excited.
How are you feeling?
Sure, just filled with so much joy, excitement, and I think God has been so faithful. Every time when I think about like baby coming, I become so emotional. I'm not gonna cry. But we cannot wait to meet our baby. I think it's just such a perfect blessing.
I mean, I know as your friend and your friends were super excited to meet baby. And I always say this and I always want you to always remember this, that he's the orchestrator of what's happening in your body.
Yeah.
Your gynae can only go so far. Your doula, your midwife can only go so far. But at the end of the day, only God understands what's happening in your body and what is going to come out of it is just going to be even more perfect than what he's already started orchestrating. So enjoy it. And I'm happy that you're taking me along this journey with you. And I'm there for a phone call. Like, friend, is this happening right now?
I'm also very paranoid.
You are. She's the most paranoid mommy to be ever.
Oh, my goodness.
But who's not? Who's not at the end of the day? Who's not first pregnancy? Everyone's paranoid.
When baby has lazy days, I'm just like, oh my goodness, are you okay? Are you okay?
Friend, there was a point where you called me and you're like, friend, did your tummy stop growing? Friend, baby's fine.
I know.
Okay. Trust me. But it's part of the journey.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey, and I'm just grateful that you're taking me along.
Oh, friend, thank you for coming along and answering my really crazy
always
things. I know I ask you weird things all the time.
Always. Who's going to answer the phone if I don't?
That's true. So, just to get into today, and I think it really goes back to what you actually said earlier on about your younger self.
Yeah.
But maybe let me ask you this question. Today's theme is around self-forgiveness, healing and letting go. Mm. What does self-forgiveness mean to you?
Sure. Self-forgiveness, it's accepting what I went through or what I've been going through. It could be present, it could be past, but I need to accept that it happened in my life. And after the acceptance of it, then finding the lesson in what happened and what did it mold? What did it bring out? And I think forgiving yourself, realizing there was a reason and this is the reason, then it becomes very easier to forgive yourself. Because then you're like, oh, okay, I went through this to strengthen this part of my life. So it wasn't all null and void.
Mm.
And then, oh, I could have reacted better there. Oh, I could have dealt with this better. But I didn't, and it happened, and it's okay. But I've learned not to react like that. I've learned not to deal like that anymore. And therefore, it has created a much better human being. So then it becomes easy to say, I forgive you. Because if you did not do those things, you wouldn't have known now. So self-awareness in whatever may be present, may be past, self-awareness in why you went through that and accepting that you went through it and you did it or somebody did it to you or whatever the case may be, but just accepting that this happened and, hey, this was the lesson learned and it had to happen for you to become the label you are now. And I think in that it's easier and has been easier for me personally to forgive myself for many a situations that I felt like I could have dealt with better. To say, okay, now I know the mistakes I made as a friend then, or the mistakes I made as a sibling or a daughter, you know, as a wife. Now I know now to do better. And it's easier to say, I forgive you, Libs.
And what was that moment where you had to exercise that moment of self-forgiveness?
Sure. So I think when I had to exercise that was when I had Ululibo, when I had my son and had my baby. And it was a very tough time for me. I just had a baby. I was very fragile, emotional, and I felt very unseen and misunderstood at the time. I mean, I'm a new mother and I don't know what I'm doing at this point. And I'm not the best of wives at that time. I'm not the best of friends. I'm not the best of anything. But I need to be present somehow. And I wasn't. And I had to fight certain battles. You know, I had to fight certain things. And when I look back, I was like, okay, as much as I was going through postpartum depression, my husband was as well. And I was very strong on what I wanted, which till this day, I still say kudos to me for being strong for some of the decisions I made as a mother, as a new mother. But I could have been more gentle towards him. I could have heard him out maybe just a bit more than I gave the chance to. Because then I realized, oh my gosh, you were too harsh. Oh, you just did not care, you know. So you were just, I was just belting whatever I felt, belting. And it took us a while to heal and get back our old original selves, lovey-dovey, oh, here's the cool clan, here are the Mishima cools. It took a while. I mean, we didn't shoot anything for a while because I was just trying to figure out, is this it? Like, are you not understanding how I feel? But then I became a really, really harsh human being at that point. I had to then, when once we had sat down with him, my husband, and now speaking about what went down and what happened, and we had that honest conversation that this is where I was, this is where you were, I had to then take myself to say, okay, I could have dealt better, but now I know that if I get pregnant again, this is how I will deal with the situation. Better off. Not that I'm not taking away everything. Some choices were great, but some maybe too over-exaggerated, too much, too harsh. And for my language, to my mannerisms, I could have done maybe just a tad bit better. And now I know and I've forgiven myself for treating him that way. I felt like a bad wife. I felt like a bad wife. I felt like I was not present. But I just had a child, you know? And that was my reconciliation with myself. That I just had a child. He needs to understand and all of that. And but he just had a child. Yeah. It's no more providing for just two people. Now it's three, you know? So the pressure has mounted on his end as well. You know, he also needs to be seen somewhere, somehow. It's new. Some of these things that are being told to do are also, as much as they are new to me, they're new to him.
Yeah.
And he's just wanting peace, you know. So I had to then come back to say, Lebo, you did it and you weren't a bad wife. And it's okay. Forgive yourself and move forward. Where can we move forward with this now? going forward in our marriage.
Sure. I love that. I think just listening to you, and I think this is something that maybe as women we struggle with, having to forgive ourselves.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's why this is one of the key topics I've sort of put down, or themes. I think that's my season where I'm actually getting to a point of really getting to a point of self-forgiveness.
Sure.
And saying, what does it mean to me? What does it look like for me? You know, and I think the first thing is it's the transformation act of compassion and acceptance of my past mistakes and my shortfalls, and being okay with that and saying, I forgive you for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes I'm someone who can sit there for a week, and every time I think of a moment, I'm angry with myself.
Yeah.
I'm so angry with myself. I'm like, I could have done this. I could have done this. I could have done this better, or maybe change the situation. But then I forget that I need to have compassion for myself and accept that I cannot do anything.
Yeah.
And I need to get rid of that guilt.
Yeah.
Not even that guilt, maybe the disappointment that I had for myself, and accept that that's happened, and then exercising that compassion to say that I need to treat myself with that.
Sure.
And I think maybe I want to look at your journey. How has compassion played a role in self-forgiveness?
Oh, it's played a big role.
Mm.
It's played a big role, because if I'm not kind with myself, if I'm not gentle with myself, I can't be gentle and compassionate with anybody else.
Mm.
I won't be it with my friends. I won't be it with my husband. I won't be it with my child. So I've had to be very absolutely compassionate with myself and give myself the space to make mistakes and understand that they do happen and that you're not perfect. And so compassion then has to play a big role in the forgiveness stage. That, okay, you made this, but what did you also do that was good in the situation?
Sure. So highlighting the good and the bad.
Yes.
Now, or even in the situation.
Yes. Now let's magnify. We've figured out the negative part of things, but now let's magnify the great you did. Mm. What's the good you did in the situation? I was a present mother. I was a present wife.
Mm.
As much as maybe emotionally I was not there all the time, but I was present. I would ask, are you okay? Are you good? You know, I was a present sibling, to a point where the one day I just like, you know what, my mom's like, let me look after the child, go spend time with your siblings. I did that. I fought for what I felt was right for my child at the time, what I felt was right for my marriage at the time.
Mm.
I fought for that, as hard as it was and painful as it was. I fought for it. And that's good.
Mm.
That's good, because I didn't quit. And I didn't give up and say, you know what, everybody do what you want to do, I'm just over it. No, I stood for what I believed in.
Mm.
I stood for what my family values and what we want to cultivate in this new journey of us being three. Was something we spoke about before having our son. Now we have him. Now maybe we've got a bit of humps and detours there, but I am not moving from the alignment. I'm not moving from the position that we both set for our family.
Mm.
And I fought for that and still stands now. So I had to be compassionate and say, you did good.
Mm.
There is good in the negative parts of the situation. Yes, you were harsh, but you were also very strong.
Sure, I love that. And I think one thing you had said for me, what has been sort of that compassion through self-forgiveness, I think it's being kind to myself.
Yes.
And having grace for myself.
Yes.
I think sometimes it's so easy to have that for everyone else, but not for myself. So
have you found yourself in that situation?
All the time. All the time. That's why I'm in the space of like the same way I'd exercise the same compassion or the same grace and love for someone when they've done something wrong. Mm. I need to do that for myself and not see myself as an exception to the rule.
Sure.
Because generally, I am the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Generally, I am the person that I can't forgive.
Yeah.
I am the person where I just struggle to reach a point of acceptance or a point that I can disappoint myself.
Sure.
And that I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
and that I am allowed to make mistakes and all these different things, because for me, it almost feels like everyone else can make them. Mm. When I make them, I am harsh with myself. Mm. And I just, as I said, that I'll sit there and reflect on things. I mean, I'll make an example. Recently, we had this really amazing and exciting opportunity to speak and do a podcast. And I think there were so many things that didn't go according to plan.
Yeah.
And I remember breaking down when I got home. Mm. That, you know, you, Ayanda, you could have done this and this, yeah, and this. Why do you put yourself in this situation? Why do you, no. I just kept playing everything. And it was really difficult for the next couple of days, because yeah, I was in this hole of, if I had maybe said no to 1, 2, 3, yeah, if I had maybe not met up with this person, why do I want to please everyone and meet, yeah, up with this person? I could have had time to sort out this one thing. Mm-hmm. Or if maybe if I had delegated more to, mm-hmm, the team, I would have not had to worry about, you know, other things. Mm. And so I was in this bubble of, yeah, of, and I forgot everything else that was said that was great about that day. And I think for me, what you said earlier on, that getting to a point of acknowledging the good even in that situation.
Yeah.
But I think what I've been doing also differently, I'm learning to surrender, hey.
Which is the hardest part.
It's hard, but it's so freeing. And I always say, we know this, hey, they preach that, they say it all the time. But it's not easy. But I think as someone, I think my husband always says that I want to be in control, yeah, of every situation.
Yeah.
When that situation doesn't happen like, mm-hmm, that, that's when I'm like, you are this person.
Yeah.
You should have, you are not.
Yeah.
You are new this, you know, mm-hmm, and just being ugly to myself. And I think that's one thing that I'm really learning in forgiving myself and playing, having, sure, that compassion. And yeah, and just being graceful and kinder to myself.
Sure,
and
that's deep.
And also forgiving myself for not having the grace. Someone once said to me, if you could, and I'm going to ask you this question, forgive yourself for one thing, what would it be? Then I said it. And afterwards, this person said, you must forgive yourself for not having the grace and the compassion and love.
Hey now.
Even in that situation.
Hey now.
So it's like another layer to say, I would forgive myself for this. And then the person was like, well, you must also have grace that you and I thought for myself, like I always end there, like I'd forgive myself for,
yeah,
being,
yeah,
so critical of myself.
Yeah.
But then I end there, and then this person was like, also, you must also have grace for yourself for being, for not forgiving yourself,
yeah,
for being critical.
Sure.
And I think that's always another layer. If there's one thing you would forgive yourself for, what would it be?
Sure. Feeling unworthy.
Sure.
I slip into that hole many a times, and I've spoken to you about it, where I, when something happens that shakes me or shakes my marriage, especially being, I could say, in the marriage ministry, relationship ministry, and I feel very shaken in that department.
I know.
I feel very unworthy to be speaking about marriage. Mm. I feel very unworthy to be speaking about relationships. I feel very unworthy to advise a friend and say, friend, do A, B, and C, and D. But then I've then also come to learn that as much as I advise and I give and I heal somewhere, I also need the healing.
Sure.
And I need to, going back to what you're saying, I need to surrender the fact that I am also human. Mm. I'm also in a marriage. I'm also in a relationship. Mm. And it will have its ups and downs. But where am I going for the healing?
Mm.
Where am I going for any sort of refill, you know, in this very specific cup, so I don't feel unworthy. So I felt very unworthy so many times, but then I've come to surrender that I am human and this is my problem and this is what I'm going through, and I need to just go somewhere, refill my cup, vent, go to therapy, talk to a good friend of mine and say, this is what's going on in my life. But it does not take the gift away from me. It doesn't take away the ministry from me. And I've had to now, even now, it's something I'm still at constant work with, that I am still very worthy. So I have to always forgive myself when I land up in a position where I feel unworthy. Because sure. To God, in God's eyes, I am always going to be worthy of what he's gifted me and what he's given me. Mm. Now I start going back and just, that's me not trusting God of his word. And that's wrong. Mm. And so I have to quickly remind myself that, no, sorry, forgive me. Are you there? Forgive me, I am worthy. I know. Yeah. Snap back and so on. And yeah, that's just it.
Sure. I love that, being, you're feeling unworthy. I feel like a lot of us have struggled with that. And yeah. I think it pulls us back from really doing the things we need to be doing.
Correct.
Because now we aren't able to act because we don't feel like we should be there, mm-hmm. or we should be doing that specific thing. And then we're not even living out our full purpose or full callings because of that. I think for me, this is something that I once tweeted. Oh, I don't know what you say on Twitter. Guys, I suck on Twitter.
Friend, how many years ago was this? Because you on Twitter.
I'm on Threads now.
Hello.
I think for me, it would really be forgiving myself for being too critical of myself.
Sure.
And thinking the worst of myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's not even a self-image thing. No. Mm. Like, not that. It's more because I'm someone who's really passionate about the things I do. Mm. And I become so critical when things don't look a certain way.
Yeah.
I remember, like, 2 years ago, we shot the first season, shot my podcast. We're still learning, still doing everything ourselves. I had my brother, who was 16 at that stage, like, managing my the cameras with, like, my phone. And things just went so wrong. And I remember just crying after that. And I was speaking to my husband. And he says that, do you realize what you had in your head only... you have that thing in your head.
Yes,
no one else knows. So if you put that out, literally people are getting the best version of what you have.
True.
And now you've gone into this cycle of like, I'm not using this visual. I'm just going to do audio because it looks horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and not acknowledging that it was our fourth episode mm-hmm. for the season. We were shooting it ourselves. So I was behind the camera. Even with my brother, he was just pressing play. And we rented cameras that day that I've never operated in my life. So we didn't even end up using those cameras that day.
Yikes.
And, I mean, one of the guests was so gracious. I mean, she was there trying to help too. And that time, we all trying to figure out this thing. We were shooting in a very dark place. So there was so much happening.
Yeah.
And the problem became Ayanda, not everything else. And so I think for me, it would really be being too critical and being thinking the worst out of myself.
Yeah.
That's what I would essentially forgive myself for.
Sure.
And that's something I'm learning every single day. I think it's something that sometimes I'll ask people, maybe I've just done a speech or did a presentation. And I'm like, what did you think? I just want to be affirmed that it's good enough, you know? And which is, I mean, it's really a horrible cycle to be in. I should leave that space and be confident that what I put out was really amazing.
Yeah.
And not need someone to affirm me so that I'm not critical. I'm not thinking the worst. I'm not thinking, not thinking things that shouldn't even be thought about myself.
Yeah.
And so that for me has been my war. It's been my something that I deal with. Mm. It's something that I think people think, oh, no, we all do all that. I think mine is, like, hectic because it sometimes cripples me because then I'm, like, sitting there thinking, I don't want to use any of that. I think even with the recent situation with the podcast, I literally said, we're going to reshoot this whole thing. I'm going to try see if we can hustle, get a studio. And then just being sad about something that really is beyond my control and accepting what's happening.
Sure.
But I want to move on to this, and you had really touched on this around healing.
Yeah.
What are some of the lessons you've learned around healing or the process of healing?
The process of healing is such a difficult one. Because I think why we most of the time struggle with healing is because we want a time frame to our healing.
Mm.
you don't know when the healing is coming, and that causes the anxiety and the difficulty in moving forward and accepting. I think with this episode, I'm going to use accept a lot, because healing, forgiveness is accepting what is happening. And I feel in many a times healing becomes so difficult because we are uncertain when the time of complete healing will come.
Mm.
When is it? Is it in August? Is it in December?
Is come on, God.
Is it tomorrow?
I am that person. I'm like, I've written a journal. Yes. I've prayed. I've cried.
Yes.
I must be okay tomorrow. I don't have time to deal with this.
When do I stop crying?
When do I stop crying?
When I'm not triggered.
Yeah. Or it stop hurting when I see something.
Yes. So I think that's what makes the healing process even more difficult. But now what makes it more easier is now saying to God, my Aunt Gail said this to me when I was going through something, and she said to me, how about you just say to God, heal my faith?
Sure.
How about uttering those words? Heal my faith. Lord, have mercy on my situation. Lord, have mercy on me. And I uttered those words every single day to date. And I tell you, I have cried. I have counted the number of times I've cried in a week from the beginning of whatever happened to the process of starting my healing. I probably would cry every day of the week to now 3 times in the week, to three times in a day to now once in a day.
Sure.
So as we go, you start seeing that I am actually getting better.
Yeah.
Because why? I've accepted my pain. That's another thing. Words I'll always live by. My midwife said to me when I was pregnant, the only way, this is not an easy process, it's painful. It is super painful. But the only way it's going to get better or feel less painful is if you accept that you're having contractions. It didn't make sense to me at the time. She said to me, accept your pain. I'm like, what does this woman mean? Accept death. Because this is what it feels like, you know. But I carried those words right. I'm still carrying them through my life. Accept the pain. So if I need to cry and scream that day, and I need to call Ayanda, and I don't need you to say anything, I just need to cry. I need to park on the side of the road and say, Lord, intervene. I am in pain. That's the process of healing. Healing does not look good.
No, it's ugly.
It's messy.
Yeah.
You are going to be snotty. You are going to be dry because you'll be crying and dry up after that. You're not going to care about your outer look at that point because everything inside is in pain.
Yeah.
Everything inside is in shambles. So accepting that the process looks like that and going through the days and accepting the love, I was struggling with that. So accepting that there are people who genuinely want to carry you through this.
Yeah, and having them walk with you is important. And really, like I would say, giving that, not even that burden, but some of the emotional turmoil you're going through over to them is actually part of the process too.
Yeah, letting them go through it with you, accepting that this is it. Ayanda's there, and you know what? She's not there to count, so this is what you're going through. Not overthinking the situation, believing that the people that are around you actually want to be there with you and cross over with you when you finally heal. And surrendering the problem.
The surrendering word.
The issue.
Yeah.
Letting it be that this is what it is. Believing it for what it is at that point. Not trying to convince yourself of what it might be. This is the issue. Accepting the issue for what it is. Believing. If it's a partner who's hurting you, believe in your partner that's what they're saying to you right now.
And believe it.
Believe it. And they're the one hurting you.
Let them go.
I can't believe that this is the person hurting me, the person I was supposed to love all my life. Believing that that is the person
yeah.
that's hurting you.
Yeah.
You didn't imagine your life turning out like this, but it is currently. Yeah. That's a family, that this is my blood. This is my flesh and blood that's hurting me. Why would my sister or my brother say such harsh and mean words to me, believing that that is what it is, yeah. and that's what they said to you, and now processing it and going through it and understanding that this process is not heels or Instagram or anything that looks pretty. It's messy, and it needs people that will go through it with you in its messiness.
Yo, I love that. I love everything you've said, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I think I want to go back to the time thing. I once went away. Guys, I recommend crying weekends.
Yes. You told me that.
Just book a place if you can. And even if you can't, just find a friend who's away that weekend and stay at their house. I just really had this plan. You know, I took all my self-care books. Raman Sharma, my Bible, anyone that I thought will help with personal development, because that's something I really suck at. I'm great at everything, looking at my career.
Yeah.
Not dealing with me personally developing besides faith. Mm. Oh, gosh. I'm like the worst person. And I took all these books and I took my Bible. Like, this is the plan. I plan everything and I'm going to do this. And I remember my therapist said to me when I said I was going away, she's like, do not have a plan on how you're going to relax and go through what you're going through. And I remember thinking, that's really tough because I want to know what I'm doing each day. And she's like, just remove that planning hat. And the only thing I did plan was a spa treatment.
You went spa.
I mean, oh my goodness. I should be an ambassador for someone.
Please, guys, I hope you're watching.
Please. Oh, by the way, we are live at Aura Radisson. Or on Tumble Radisson, and they're going to be giving me a really nice massage.
Stunning. This is like one of my favorite rooms. Like,
it's beautiful. Stunning. Hey, absolutely, I love it. Oh my goodness.
It's like home,
I
think but a luxurious home.
I know. I love that it's homey. And also, every time when I come here, I'm almost like, they'll tell me this is the room you're getting. And then we get in here and they give us the best. So I'm just like, guys.
The treatment here is impeccable.
It's amazing. So we are live there. Just check out everything on my Instagram. And also, you saw at the beginning of the video, you saw the amazing footage of where we are. But just going back to this weekend, so I got there thinking when I come back, a healed person.
Yeah. I remember you said, friend, I'm not taking calls.
Yeah. I didn't take calls.
Yeah.
I just told people, like, every day I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry, because I went to, like, the bushes and stuff. Well, no, I still like being comfortable. So
luxurious. I had a bush.
I had a fridge. Luxurious bush. I had Wi-Fi. I had an electric blanket. Like, I had everything. I had a shower, even a bath, but we're still in the bush. The only thing I saw there was a horse.
Oh, wow.
And a zebra.
Sounds like a farm.
It was really like, you know. So I had this idea of what healing would look like for me. I had just gone through such a terrible loss. I was also learning to let go of some things in my life.
Yeah.
And I literally cried every day.
Sure.
The whole day. And I think after that I came out with, I recommend crying weekends, where you just cry. And I didn't know the things that I had helped in had affected me that way.
Sure.
And generally, I think my friends would say, you also would say that, but you've seen me cry. Some of my other friends would say, you know, I never see you cry. Like, and I'm just like, yeah, because I hold it in and I cry at home by myself. Mm. You know, even with my husband, you know, I'm just someone who really tries holding a lot of my emotion in the moment. I don't know if it's because of work. I don't know. And I really went through just every single day waking up, trying to write things, you know, and that was my process.
Yeah.
In that moment. And even afterwards, even when I had an idea that I would have healed after that, I was still going through the motions.
Mm.
It took so much time of actually dealing with everything. And it was not really going to be the weekend that I had envisioned, that I'll come back a better person.
It was messy.
It was messy.
Yeah.
It was messy. And it made me realize what you had said, that healing takes time.
Yeah.
Which we all know. But I thought in this instance might be different because I took active steps to do it differently.
Yeah.
I'm a therapist. I have a weekend to myself. Mm. I've got these self-help books. I've got God. I want to listen to worship music. And I thought maybe we'd speed up the process because now I want to be, you know, quoting all these incredible people who really speak about personal development. I'm going to be thinking what the Bible says. I want to read Psalms and see what David, when he was crying, you know. And it wasn't that.
Mm.
And I think for me, the lesson I learned in that moment was that healing takes time.
It does.
And I need to be okay with that. Yeah. And in accepting that, that it's not a now thing, it's not a destination.
Yeah.
And I mustn't try to get to a destination, but rather it's a process, because things that happened 5 years ago can still trigger you even 5 years later.
Sure.
And the only difference is how you deal with them, you know.
Mm.
And even if you have healed from them, it doesn't take away maybe the pain you once felt.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I had to learn, as someone who's always on a plan. And this, if I have one to this table, the result of this is this. And the result didn't match my actions. And my result is what I needed in that moment. And so for me, that has always, now it's one of the things that I have, and now I know. And I think also another thing that I'm still learning around healing, that healing also requires you to lean on people. And I mean, I have a small community. I have a community, but I struggle to open myself.
Yeah.
And I think people will complain about that, or you don't open yourself, you know. Because at face value, you think I'm this very open person. You think I will tell you all my life. But I'm actually someone who isn't. And so I think for me, it really opened my heart to say that I need people to heal with.
Sure.
I need to be open about my journey. I need to allow myself to be vulnerable.
And touching that on that, friend, just before I forget, you mentioned vulnerability and being vulnerable to people or your community. I just want to touch on the fact that it's also very important to be vulnerable with self first. You know, when you're able to say what I was saying earlier, if you're able to say, yeah, no, this is a mess. Yeah, no. My mother's not a nice person. My father is really hurting me. Oh, I hate this job. When you're vulnerable with self, it's easier to be vulnerable with your community.
Sure. I love that. And I think a lot of those things about the grace and compassion, because how do you get there when you don't have the compassion grace for yourself?
Hey.
Yeah. And I think being vulnerable, or being using that word, you know, it's something that I also need to allow myself in that healing process.
Yeah.
And I've learned that as painful as it is, that there's purpose in pain.
Sure.
And it's part of my journey. It's part of my journey of knowing that I needed to go through that to be where I am right now.
Yeah, bro.
And I think there've been moments where I've looked back and said, okay, if I had done this differently, I would have been here.
Yeah.
Or maybe this person has hurt me this way, if they had not hurt me, you know. But then when I look back to how things are so much better, even after that, I was always like, oh God, I wish you had told me that moment that there's purpose in your pain. Maybe I'll be a different person. Maybe I would be cruising like, oh yeah, you hurt, but I know. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. It's part of the journey. But it's actually just remembering that, and it's not always easy.
Yeah.
And for me, I think those are some of the things that just remembering and uttering.
Yeah.
I want to go back to forgiveness. Not self-forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Sure.
What role has forgiveness played in your healing process?
You know, there's that saying that people always say that, if you don't forgive the next person, you're only eating the poison. You're the one that's dying, not the person you are not forgiving. They're going to move on and be fine. And as cliche as it is, it's very true. Because then imagine living your life seeing this one person, whether it's a spouse or a partner or a friend or a family member, seeing them always being angry. Being angry to a point where you can't even be present in special moments because this one person is in the room.
Yeah.
You've now missed out if it's a baby daddy and you're so mad at your baby daddy. It's your child's birthday. You couldn't immerse yourself in your child's birthday. A moment he or she will never forget or have pictures, and you there frowning or not having a great time because you were mad at this one person. So it steals joy.
Mm.
It steals away. It steals away from the moments. It steals moments. It steals time. And not from the next person, because they probably had a beautiful time.
Yeah.
But you were sitting there all, I don't like him. He's not paying child support. He's probably not doing all of those things, but it's not about him at this moment. And I think forgiveness or forgiving that person or forgiving a situation is so freeing. Because you can, you're not going to miss out on things that you need to be present in. You're not gonna miss out on deals because that person is going to be in the room, so I don't want to go there. Can you see me at a private meeting? No, you're going to walk in there with a smile and you're going to execute what you need to execute because you no longer live there.
Yeah.
Forgiveness for me is no longer living in that situation.
So what was that incident where you had to look at forgiveness as a mechanism to heal?
Sure.
Or one of the elements, because there's a lot of elements.
There is. I go back to when I had my child. I was a sour baby. I was a sour human. I would not want to find myself in certain family events because I don't want to see certain people. There's certain things that I haven't done and people are not happy with me.
Yeah.
But then once I forgave the situation and how the outlook and how they looked at the situation, and once I forgave them and maybe put myself in the perspective of this is where they were coming from, Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive the situation. I was able to let go. I was able not to live there. I was able to attend a family function and smile genuinely.
Yeah.
Not smile because I have to do it because...
Umakoti
la.
Or you are a sister.
No. I literally would walk into that situation genuinely happy because I no longer live there. If they live there, if whoever lives there, that's their problem. But I had to exercise that. So family gatherings became much more easier. Hanging out in Lini became much more easier. That is not home. Like me, I'm now in somebody's home that I wasn't happy with. But now, to me, it actually feels like home again. Because I don't know, I no longer live there. And I wish that upon you too, darling. That you no longer live there as well. But at that instance in my life with... my family, I had to forgive the situation. I had to forgive some of the things that were said to each other and treatment. I had to forgive that and accepting that it happened. And after that, I was not a sour baby. I was generally smiling and laughing and enjoying time with the entire family, my loved ones, my family at its true essence, you know. I was very present in the little moments, the laughter, the chuckles. I didn't miss moments because I had forgiven the situation and the people involved in it.
What's one thing you know for sure about healing?
Oh, that it's good on the other side. And that you grow. There's growth from healing. You know, we what is the situation taking me through? You said it, purpose. There's purpose in the pain. And I didn't know that I was that strong. I didn't know that I was that fierce.
But God still don't test me like that. We have conversations with God. You know me.
There's certain things you can't test me on. No, but I think those are the reasons we go through. So I just know that healing, you laugh, man. You laugh. You laugh at the situation. You laugh at the pain that you went through. Not in mockery. in looking at where you are now and why. You start, say, I always say to God, I'm going through this and it's painful. But what would be even more painful is not knowing why I went through it.
Mm.
That now would be very painful. But now, coming outside, coming on the other side and being fully healed, now understanding, a friend of mine asked me the other day, it's like, are you healed from some of the things you've just been through in life?
Yeah.
And I was like, there was a point where I didn't know what complete healing is. If it even exists, how do you heal from losing a loved one?
Yeah.
A mother, a father, a grandmother, whoever. How do you heal from having to bury this person and having to move on? Or being betrayed by the one you love? How do you heal from that? But then I realized that's the process that you have to get to. And once you get onto the other side and you understand why you went through that, then you're like, oh, okay. I miss them. I love them.
Mm.
But I can see my smile again. I'm laughing again. And I can talk about it now with ease. You know, that's when I know that I've healed. When it's no longer a situation where Ayanda has to say, yo, Wonje, I'm going to go see Lebu, so I can't touch this topic. Mm. I can't. No, you can. Because that's complete healing.
Sure. I love that. So the next question really is about letting go. And I think you've touched on this.
Yeah.
How have you dealt with letting go of relationships or situations that no longer serve you?
Let go and let God.
Mm.
We read our Bibles, we quote scriptures, and we stand in churches and we lift up our hands and we say, you are all sovereign, you are omnipotent, we give him all these words and we call him by all his names and we say sovereignty, but we don't understand what sovereignty means. Sovereignty means beyond all understanding.
Mm.
And coming to the fact that I sometimes won't have the answers to all my questions in whatever situation I went through. But that's the sovereignty of God.
And then with people, how is that process for you, letting go of those people? Like someone that was very dear and close to you, now you have to let them go.
That's painful. That's absolutely painful. But then I go back and I say, you, God, knew at this time I would not be friends with Ayanda anymore.
Mm.
You knew why. I don't. I may not even still not understand it.
Mm.
But this is happening because you allowed it to happen. And that soothes everything. That soothes my letting go. To say, you're saying, not now. Not this season. Not this time. Maybe not ever.
Yeah.
You're allowing it. And that's the sovereignty in you. And it hurts right now. But I'm going to trust you.
Hmm. Yeah, letting go for me of people has been the toughest thing of situations. I think I hold on to a lot of those kind of situations.
Yeah.
I hold on to, because I don't know if it's a people-pleasing mechanism or part of who I am as a person. But I've learned to let go in really trusting that there's always seasons for people, situations, interest, and that it's okay to be in a different season and not have it align or match with me in that in that specific season. So I think for me, it's always been like, how do I go back to the fact or understanding that things are in seasons?
Sure.
And maybe in that time of my life, that person or that situation made sense.
Yeah.
And in this time, you no longer are in that kind of space.
Mm.
And it's okay to let go. And it hasn't been easy because I'll be holding things on the thread even when it's quite obvious that it's time to let go. It's time to, you know, move on.
Yeah.
And there's no shame and there's nothing wrong. You know, the Bible says there's a time for everything.
Yeah.
Even when I forget that. But in having to go to that. So now I'm actually actively allowing myself to let go.
Sure.
And allowing myself to be okay with and accepting that it's not always going to be what it was.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think knowing that there was there was purpose in that situation, that season. Mm. You're not even taking away from the role that person played or yeah. that situation played in my life. But I want to summarize and close with this. What is the greatest gift you've received from the process of healing, self-forgiveness, and letting go?
Sure. You need to ask that again because, wow, that's a difficult one.
What really is the greatest gift you've received from the process of healing, self-forgiveness, and letting go?
Knowing that I am deserving of all things lush and yeah. good. And
like I love it, lush and good.
Everything amazing that the world and God has to offer me, yeah. I am deserving.
Mm.
And I am worthy.
Sure.
I think that is the word for my year, worthiness. Mm. I am worthy for everything and not questioning any good things that may come my way anymore. I deserve. I've come so far. I have gone through it. I have overcome it. And therefore, why not also smile and live and embrace everything that is good to be offered by the people I love and my Father in heaven?
Mm.
Why not?
Mm.
And that's, yeah, I think that's it.
Sure.
And you? I want to know yours.
I don't know. I put this question here and I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking, what is my greatest gift in this, all of this? And I actually had a word now. Yo, guys, pregnancy brain. It just ran away. It was so good. I'm going to try to remember it. Ah! I'm going to try to remember it. Now I remember. It's not even deep. No, I think for me, it really has been about inner peace, right?
Oh, yes.
And I think yes. we strive for that sense of peace and being content.
Mm.
And I think that has been the gift
sure.
around it. Because once I forgive myself, once I let go, once I heal,
yeah.
I'm in a space of
yeah.
just
so
peace,
good.
You
so
know?
Good.
And so for me, it has really been that. And I think, and what it does is that, as you said earlier on, when I'm in a space,
yeah.
when someone has hurt me,
yeah.
disappointed me, I have so much love.
Yeah.
And I actually want the best for them. I'm just yeah. like, I want yeah. you to be, you know, yeah. like, you just want the best for that yeah. person. And I think that for me has come from a place of just having that inner peace yeah. and having that, just having that
so
dealt
good.
With that. So that's the word for me, the
oh,
greatest
I
gift.
It. I can't believe it's over already.
I know.
Oh my God, our conversations fell out on the phone. We can go up to 2 hours.
I know. Oh my goodness. It's they're so long.
I'm
oh my
so
goodness.
Short, but I love being here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for
just sharing your heart with us.
Always.
We always love having you on
I'm ready to become a regular.
You have to become a regular. Guys, comment if you want Lebo to become a regular. People are going to say. I mean, that last episode, people were like, Lebo. You know, so you have to become
I'm
a regular.
Back.
I really appreciate you,
friend.
I always
I love
say
you.
This. And as a token of appreciation, we've got a small, small gift. So everyone
Strange.
That's listening, you won't be able to see this because you're driving. So be safe and drive. But you'll be able to see this on Instagram. We have a small gift to say
oh,
thank you from
friend.
The Equip and Elevate family. You know these people in the behind.
Oh my gosh, guys, these are stunning. My love for flowers.
Yo, Mia, and flowers also.
No.
So
oh,
thank you so much for
friend.
Coming and bearing your heart with us.
Always.
And just being vulnerable
always.
With us and sharing your journey. And it's
yeah.
not always an easy,
easy
thing,
one, yeah.
you know, and I don't take it lightly.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Me too, I love
my friend.
You're
my friendship.
Forever.
Forever, ever.
You know that.
I'm stuck with you.
To the.
Friend, thank you so much. And for everyone that has been listening, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I think, as I say, this is a very different episode. It's really about one of the key things we want to touch on for Equip and Elevate, which is personal development. We all are still about careers, businesses, finance and all those other cool stuff, but I think personal development is also another key thing, because you need all of that for those other things in your life. So I really hope you've enjoyed our conversation. As I said, guys, we didn't come with answers. We didn't come with this is how you should do it. It's just been our journey, and I think both of us are still going through this journey, and we have are still finding and becoming. Always. You know, as I was saying, I'm still becoming, and so but I hope that in our becoming story, it has really allowed you to maybe look into what has been that one thing that you've been struggling with, and also building a community. And I think more than anything, I wanted to show that a community, you can also have these conversations with your loved ones. So please stay equipped and elevated, and we'll see you next time.
I hope you were equipped and elevated by today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you loved what you heard, please share with others and post about on social media. Remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram, @Ayanda_Vanna, and on Twitter, @AyandaVanna. See you in the next episode.